Every Nation Church Penang, I'm so glad to see that you are back and tune in to our online service. Now, what day is today? Today is February 28th. You know what? 2 months, just like that. You know, last few days I heard the good news. That is, you can actually travel interstate on the February 29th to February 30th. If you know what I mean. Now, last Sunday, I started a new series, a love series entitled True Heart, Heart Truth. You know, as regard to love and marriage in view of the Valentine's and Chap Gome, you know, season. Now, the goal of this series is that prayerfully that you may understand a bit more, okay, what it means to have a true heart in order to comprehend the heart truth, okay, as you fall in love or in your journey, okay, in your marriage. So today, I want to talk to you about what is true marriage? You know, we all the setting here. How many of you feel like you want to get married? All right. I see so many hands. Okay. All right. Now, so today as I talk about true marriage, do you know that now is a norm that wherever you go or whenever you enter any place, you need to have your temperature taken? Yes. All right. Now, writing on that, I want to ask, what is your love temperature? Oh, is it cold? Is it hot? In this case, better be hot. All right, now. After marriage, many couples ask this question. What happened to all the romantic love after marriage? Now, my story, when I first got married, my wife and I went to honeymoon, okay, the following day. You know, we were at this missionary bungalow, and for the first time, in this place, in the highlands, and also for the first time, we have a proper English breakfast. Because it's a missionary bungalow, you have also other residents, and there were, I believe they were English missionaries. The moment both of us stepped into the dining hall, we were greeted. They said, "Good morning, newlyweds." Both of us, especially, was like, "How do you know that we just got married?" And lo and behold, we saw our name was written on the whiteboard. Okay, Jonathan and Catherine just married. Okay, now why am I saying that? Because you know, when you get married, when you want to get married, you get to think about how many more days, how many more weeks, how many more days, you know, how many more hours, and we keep on counting. Okay, about that, and then after married, then you did not count anymore. You know, the English lady actually asked me this question. She said, "Wow, you just got married. Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Oh, yes." Then she said this, "How many seconds have you gotten married?" My mind was like, blow. How many seconds? That's why I'm saying that. Before you get married, you were so excited and you keep on counting. But after that, what do you do? Now, some couple ask me this, "Pastor, we have ROM date and we also have our wedding date. So, which date should I pick in order to celebrate?" What do you think? Now, I gave them this answer. I said, celebrate as many as you can. You know why? You did not have to wait until February 14 or any of those anniversary in order to celebrate, okay, your love relationship as husband and wife. And to all those singles, this message is also for you. Okay, let me ask this. Okay, all singles, if you are single, okay, we do interactive. If you are single, type 1. Okay, 1, 1, 1, 1. All right. If you are married, type 2. Because now you are 2. All right, now. If you think you're going to get married this year, type 3. You know why? Okay. 3, yeah? All right, now. If you are single and thinking to find one, and later on you want to get married, type 4. May the 4 speak with you. Then you come and see me, then I give you a high five. All right, now some people will just have no idea about marriage. Okay, have you heard about this story? A husband invited a friend over to a house. All right, so the husband told the wife and said, "Honey, I have invited a friend home for supper." You know what the wife replied? "What? This hour for the supper? Are you crazy? This house is so a mess. I didn't go shopping and I do not have stuff. I'm not going to cook another fancy meal." The husband said, "Yeah, I know. You know why? Because this poor guy, he doesn't know what marriage is all about. That's why I'm inviting him. Now today we will explore Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 to 9. And we will look at some thoughts on marriage and divorce. Alright? Matthew chapter 9, if you can turn to verse 3 to verse 9. Open your Bible. Verse 3 said this. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we go through, okay, this series, True Heart, Heart Truth, and as we explore Matthew 19 today, help us understand, Lord, your principles, okay, of marriage and what divorce is all about as well. Father, Holy Spirit, come touch us, change our heart so that we can, okay, embrace your principle and your love. Father, today I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. So looking at verse 3, verse 2 and verse 3 just now, so do you have Pharisees to come and test Jesus? You see, whatever good things that you want to do, somehow, okay, people will have these critics, okay, that come, okay, and discourage you. And here in verse 3, so where the Pharisee came up to Jesus and tested him, and they asked this question, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Now, interestingly, okay, this question is not only Jesus' time, and it's not new, and it's also not shocking in that sense, because people ask this kind of question in different ways, different phrases, okay, and so on, okay, throughout generation. But it's having the same thought and in their mind, okay, thinking about what marriage is, and after that, thinking about divorce. Now, I have this story that I want to tell you that I've been to the registrar, okay, many times, okay, to witness many young people, okay, getting married, okay, in some occasion, okay, being the witness and sign for them as well. But at one point, I was able to engage a short conversation with the registrar. So I said this, Puan, your job must be very interesting and exciting, all right? Because you get see all these young people exchange ring, you know, get them to save out. Wow, it's so nice. You know what was her reply? It wasn't that reply I wanted to hear. He said, no. Morning, you have all the happy people. Afternoon, it's all about crying. You know why? Because they handle all the weddings in the morning. And they will handle all the divorce cases in the afternoon. And in the afternoon, they will try to make it as short as possible so that they can discourage people, okay, from divorcing. So they tell them, okay, if you cannot, go home and think about it, all right? They try to delay them, okay, for being divorced. So this is what happening. So hear me, if you are thinking of divorce already, why would you ever think, okay, to get married in the first place? Now, make sure that this word divorce is not found in your dictionary. Okay, the letter D. You know, me already got a lot. I got David, I got Derek, I got Deborah, and got Darling. Okay, the other divorce note. If I were to have more children, maybe it's Dixon, you know, Daniel, Darren, you know, okay, and so on. Now, based on an American survey, which I look up, it was estimated that 49% of marriages in the U.S. will end in divorce. You listen here, the first marriage, the divorce rate in America is 41%. The second marriage, 60%. And the third marriage is 73%. It just continue going up. In other words, don't you ever think that if you remarry, your marriage will get better. You know why? Because the previous wound, the previous hurts, okay, was not mended, was not, okay, overcome, okay, from the previous marriage. So it was not healed and was carried on to the next, okay, relationship. Now, that's America. But what about Malaysia? You know, based on the Department of Statistics Malaysia 2020, stated that in the year 2019, divorce rate was 12%. Wow, so happy, 12%. No, so when I look up further with some of the details, in 2018, there were 206,000 registered, okay, wedding, but 51,000, I round it up, okay, divorce, which means carry about 25%. That's huge. Then in 2019, there were 204,000 registered for marriage, but in the same year, of course not the same group, but people who filed in for divorce was about 57,000. That was about 28%, okay, of divorce rate in Malaysia. So as we explore Matthew chapter 19, we're going to look at, okay, what Jesus talked about marriage and divorce. All right, three thoughts as regards to the sacredness, okay, of marriage. I'm going to cover God's design, God's intention, and God's preservation. All right, number one, God's design on marriage. Let's look at verse 4, Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said this, "Have you not read?" This is the reply to the Pharisee. Is it lawful to divorce, all right, now in any cause? So Jesus replied this, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Jesus was so good. He made that answer so plain and so clear. So Jesus said, from the beginning, which means marriage has been always God's idea and God's plan. And marriage is to last forever. All right? Marriage is not the government idea or the church idea. Marriage is, from the beginning, is God's idea. Okay? Which is, when you look at that, all right, God pour his blessing upon those who married. All right, a good amen. But when you read again, have you not read? So he's challenging the Pharisee. You didn't read, man? Okay. Then he said, God created them from the beginning. It's right from the beginning. What happened? God made them male and female. So when you look at this, these are important truth that many people miss. That when you read this, that means Jesus saying that there's not even a hint right from the beginning that whatsoever of male and male. It's male and female. There's no male and male, or female and female, or male and female female, or female and male, or whatever combination is that. But it's always male and female. So God's design for marriage is always one man and one woman. And all God's people say, amen. Now, all others are not, all right? All others' relationship as regard to this are not, okay? They're all considered sin. So God's design for marriage is always one man and one woman. God's plan for marriage has divine order. There's no confusion, no uncertainty. So in Genesis, when Jesus said right from the beginning, that's where you go to book of Genesis and look at what God says, right? That God made man and God made a woman suitable for a man. That's divine order on marriage. So if you look up at Genesis chapter 2 verse 16, "Then the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." I also look up from other translation, the New Living Translation, the paraphrase say that, "I will make a helper who is just right," okay, "for him." Good News Translation say, "I will make a suitable companion," okay, "to help him." By the way, when you read words like this and helper, friends, your wife is not your maid, wash all those things, clean your house for you, all right? Now, God made man and woman different, okay, to fulfill his purpose. Now, let's, for me, I love to do housework, all right? So when I do that, all the ladies and wives love to hear that. Then they will tell me, "Pastor, preach to all the men." I look at all the men, just smile. If I were told them, they don't want to be my friend anymore. Okay, now, God made men and women different, okay? They have their respective uniqueness and compliments, okay, to complement one another, all right? That's where God made men and women, they have roles and responsibility, all right? Now, just a couple of them. Husband, you are the head of the household, okay? Don't deny that. You are the lover. You are the provider, okay? The wife, you are to submit and support and to give birth to children. Husband cannot, they are men, all right? Husband is the man, the masculine. Wife is the woman, okay, is the feminine. Husband is the spiritual leader and provide direction, and the wife is the house taker that nourishes the whole household. All right, when you come back home, wow, you want, okay, dishes, okay, food, okay, from your wife. Now, husband is the defender, and the wife is the encourager. Of course, sometimes when you watch movie, wow, some of these wives are like gangster, right? So, wow, it's just scary, man. Okay, now, husband is to bring out the beauty and the glory of his wife. While the wife is to bring out the strength. Today, we use this word, the ox strength, you know, the oxen, okay, of the husband, okay, being the moral booster, okay, for him. So, husband, listen here. Hey, you should be, as we talk about love relationship, marriage, love and all this, husband, you are the love leader. You are the initiator. Don't wait for your wife to say love you. You are the love leader. And wife, you are the submissive partner. Now, whenever I talk to husband and wife, this will always be the argument. The argument is, that you love me first, huh? You submit first, huh? Okay, submit, love. So it's never end. But let me say this. If you are the leader, you take, okay, the first step. Why? Because Ephesians 5:24-25 says this. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit, okay, in everything to their husband. Verse 25, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave up for her. Even before, okay, the people submit to Christ, Jesus already take the lead and go to the cross and gave himself up, okay, for the church. So if you are singles, ladies and gentlemen, all right, learn this as early as you can. Do you know that wedding ceremony only lasts a few hours? But marriage lasts a lifetime. So whatever investment that you have, invest in preparing your marriage and after marriage as well, after your wedding as well, because all these investments are more valuable, okay, than all other investment, okay, that you're going to make. Okay, the fact is this, every one of us are not perfect. So in other words, there are imperfections with us, and each time when we singles, when you look for your Mr. and Mrs. Right, no, sorry, you look for your Mr. Right and Miss Right, only to know that they are Miss or Mr. Left right now. We are all not perfect. All that I can say that we are all broken and fallen people, as such that it affects every layer or every level of our relationship with one another in regards to physical, mental, spiritual, and even, okay, in your sex life. That's why, okay, that we need Jesus. Okay, we need Jesus, okay, to help us, okay, in this love relationship. So when Jesus said from the beginning, that means that is the original plan of God, okay, for you and I. So think about, how is God going to bless a relationship when all that we do is to go against Him? When God says that His original plan, His God design is one man and one woman. You know, LGBT now is a big thing in the world, okay? Male and male, female and female, male wants to become female, female wants to become male, and so on and so on. So many combinations, okay, which such as become an upside down world. But sometimes you hear that, we're happy, ma. Well, how many of us know this truth? That is, it's not about happiness alone. It's a question about holiness, right? That's why when you look at the whole world today, when you talk about sicknesses, do you know how deadly, okay, is the STD or the HIV, okay, disease? Today we are talking about COVID, okay, that is all over the world. So that brings me to the second point, okay, what is God's intention, okay, for marriage? Let's continue to read verse 5 and verse 6, God's intention for marriage. And Jesus said this, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So marriage is a gift, okay, that God gave, all right? A gift from God to both husband and wife. And of course, with certain responsibilities. So with this, as we read them, they are to separate, they are to leave, okay, their parents. Okay, so as they leave the parents, they are to come together and stand on their own feet and then raise their new family. So it is the husband and wife responsibility to sustain and to grow, okay, their new family. So God's original design of marriage is one man, one woman, and God's intention marriage is about, listening here will be, reading here will be the leaving and cleaving. So talk a bit about leaving and cleaving. Not cleaning, cleaving, right now. So Marriage is about living and cleaving, which the other word that we're reading right now is the word hold fast. You see, when you are married, Bible talks about you are to leave your parents and then cleave to your spouse. You see, the thing is this. In our mindset, when we leave, it's like showing disrespect to your parents. But over here, it means that if you don't leave, you're going to cause a big mess, okay, to all parties. Okay, when all live together in that sense, who is going to take lead? All right, all hell will break loose. I've seen so many, all right, when they choose to stay, okay, together and wanting to be a loving in-law, whichever side. And in a short time, everyone becomes outlaw. That is the scenario, all right? So you can imagine what kind of war, okay, that will take place if you don't follow God's intention, okay, for marriage. Now, the living is painful, especially if, like all of us, we come from a culture, okay, of what we call the filial piety, okay, which is to show respect, love, okay, and support to our parents, and not counting from the background that we are, majority of us come from the ancestor worship. Now, leaving his father, mother in this context is that it's not about you hating them. Because Bible talks about the fifth commandment in the tenth commandment, the fifth commandment of the tenth commandment, that is to honor your father and mother, and that come with a promise. All the more that we should love, okay, honor them, okay, respect them. But again, here in this principle, that is, the intention is when you leave, okay, your parents and cleave, okay, which means it's about you taking your new role and responsibilities, okay, as a newlyweds and start a brand new family unit. And that is God's foundational principle for building strong family unit. So in that sense, the living and cleaving is about shifting of your loyalty, which means, okay, you are now loyal to your spouse, the husband to the wife, and the wife to the husband. Now, the struggle that normally took place is always about, let's say, talk about a husband, you will be struggling about mother or wife. Where is your loyalty? Your loyalty to your wife or to your mother? What do you think? The struggle will always be like this. This is hard truth. Alright, now, when you say wife, you must say, I give birth to you, you know. I feed you, you know. You cry, build up, you know. I care for you, you know. You see, I care for you, you know. Then your loyalty shakes. Friends, let me tell you that your mother is not your Valentine. All right? So when it comes to Valentine, you are to take your wife. You know why? Because your mom's Valentine is your daddy, is her husband. So the husband got to take your mother to the Valentine's dinner, not you, all right? So, give you an example like that, all right? So, it is your father's responsibility to take your mother, okay, for Valentine's. Okay, hope that gives you some glimpse, all right? Now, God's intention for marriage, okay, the other one that you can see here is two shall become one. What does that mean, okay, to hold fast? That the Bible talks about you're no longer two, but one flesh. Now, often I use this two paper, blue and red, and then apply glue, stick them together. Okay, when you put the glue stick together, it means hold fast, you glue them. Now, there's no way that you separate these two and two remain the same. If you try to do that, you know, how painful that will be, okay, when trying to separate, okay, the two that God has joined, they will never be the same. So in other words, the emotional that took place, the pain, the trauma, the hurts, okay, were never able to recover, so to speak. Now, you see, God designed us biologically. And in the next sense, our biological body produces hormone. Some of you may not know this. That is, when two become one, the body, or when you fall in love in that sense, all right, or whenever you have a sexual intimacy, the body produces a hormone called oxytocin. Not toxin, oxytocin. Now, together mixed with the dopamine and serotonin, these are all the happy hormones. That's why when you have brother, you have sister, or whoever you saw, your friends, all this falling in love, they just behave strangely. Okay, they talk, the way they smile is just different. Why? Because these hormones are working in their body. Now, think about it. When one choose to betray one another, okay, one choose to betray one another, and what happens? One will become so crazy. because of that mixture of hormone that's already taken place, okay, in that person. Now, because why they become crazy and in that sense, because their trust and love in every aspect of their love relationship are being crushed, the sense of betrayal becomes so real that easily, okay, because they just couldn't think of themselves anymore and they just easily wanting to take their own life. So to the singles, take note of this very well. If you are boyfriend, girlfriend, okay, my take for you is do not live as husband and wife yet. Why? Because you are not legally married. You're still boyfriend and girlfriend. But then, if you are burned with passion and you are sexually active, you know what? If you are financially capable, get married. I'll do my part. Okay, now, this is what Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 and 9. To the unmarried and to the widows, include widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. Verse 9, but if they cannot exercise self-control, what did Paul says? They should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. How many weddings are we going to have this year? All right, now, number 3. So first one was God's intention. Second one was, God's design. Second one, God's intention. The third one, God's preservation of marriage. Let's look at verse 7 to 9. And they said to him, why then Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? And he said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allow you to divorce your wife. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, okay, commits adultery. You see, for sure, the Pharisee cannot see, okay, the sacredness, okay, of marriage. That marriage is God's idea right from the beginning, okay, God's idea and God's perfect view, okay, for mankind. So when you say from the beginning, in other words, there were no certificate of divorce from the beginning. But yes, it is true when you search Deuteronomy chapter 24, you will see that Moses gave the certificate of divorce. Yes, it's written, all right? Now, but that was not God's original design and that was not God's intention, okay, for marriage. Why is that so? Jesus said, why is that certificate of divorce given? Jesus said, it's because of the hardness of heart. So in other words, when you come to think about marriage, this there's no problem with marriage. It's not even Moses' problem. It's about the hardness of the heart of mankind. Now, God's preservation of marriage is always lifetime. God created marriage as a place of security, if you do not know, where men and women could express their intimacy for one another. All right, and it's not to be done everywhere. All right, it's just for that particular one man and particular one woman that you choose to live your life together as husband and wife. Marriage is not only for the piece of certificate, but it's a lifetime commitment. Friends, if there's no covenant for each one, then each party will just wanting to walk away, okay, at any time, okay, that they like. That's why the case or the issue of living together outside marriage, which is called cohabitation, does not work, okay, for a long run. You never know when the other person or someone, okay, is going to walk out of you. Friends, young people, don't give excuse, okay, for staying together because you want to save the cost of the house rental. Okay, how much can you save, okay, in that sense? Now, divorce is only God's permissive will and not his original plan, okay, in marriage. In fact, divorce is the distortion of God's original plan for marriage. It's because of man's sinfulness, rebellion, selfishness that trigger, okay, the idea of divorce. When we talk about marriage, strange, huh? We need to talk about divorce. Now, although the provision of divorce seems allowed for a reasonable cause, which is written just now, that is the reason of sexual immorality, marries another or commits adultery. Now, in all costs, it should be discouraged okay, for righteousness' sake. Now look at Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, 16. I want to read the paraphrase version, the New Living Translation says this in verse 15. Didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are His. And what does He want? Godly children from your union. So guard your heart. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. Verse 16. For I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel. To divorce your wife is to overwhelm her with cruelty, says the Lord of heaven's army. So guard your heart. Do not be unfaithful to your wife. Wow, that is powerful. All right, I'm going to end soon. Now, marriage is not just a certificate per se, but marriage is a covenant. I'll need to cover this a bit. That is, when you enter a marriage relationship, you sign a paper. In other words, it's like you enter a contract, but because you recognize who God is, you enter into a covenant relationship. Now, to understand covenant relationship, I have to tell you the other one that is, if we live a life that is consumer, now the consumer kind of relationship, okay, just to illustrate, okay, contract, okay, and covenant. Now, when we talk about consumer relationship, it's all about what can I get? What can I get from this relationship? When it's all exhausted, exhaustive, so a person choose to leave. I'll give you an example of consumer, our consumer life. Now, I love sunshine. Because sunshine offer me cheap, easy, convenient, easy. I go down, okay, buy all my things, all right? I love sunshine. And each time I go to sunshine, sunshine will sing this song to me. You are my sunshine. Now, what happened is, if there another supermarket comes about, called Moonshine, it's cheaper, more convenient, all right, and fresh. Friends, I probably changed my loyalty. Goodbye, sunshine, and now I go to Moonshine. Change, because the consumer kind of thinking. But when it comes to covenant relationship, it's not about what I can get from that relationship, but it's about what can I give, okay, to relationship. So when we think about this contract and covenant, you see, in contract, two parties remain separate. I sign a contract with you, you remain as who you are, I remain as who am I. Now, talk a bit about illustration. I came to know this new illustration. It's like making the salad dressing. You have the oil, you have the water, and then you try to mix them, you know, in that sense, because you want to get ready for your salad, okay? Now, after a while, you leave it for a while. When it becomes still, it will separate itself, and you see that it's separated, right? Now, in a covenant, when we talk about what Jesus said, two no longer one, two became one, the marriage covenant is like, give you the next illustration, is smashed potato. How many of you have made mashed potato? You have two potato, looks different, but looks the same. You skin them alive, you chop them, you put in the pot, hot water, boil them. When it's soft, you mix them together, you mash them. Smash potato. Can you separate the two to become two potato? No way. All right, so when two become one. So God's design intention for marriage is always lifetime, it's not temporal. Marriage is a decision that you make and you enter that covenant with God, which you say you sacrificially love the person that you marry no matter what happened. Okay, that was the vow, okay, that you make. So as I'm going to close, I want to have the worship team back. All right. When you think about the consumer relationship and the covenant relationship, where are you now? Are you in a relationship thinking about what can I get out from this? Or you have the mindset of saying that, what can I give and not get? What can I give and not get? You see, in a covenant relationship, whichever relationship you're in, it will always be tested. But when you embrace what it means to be having the covenant relationship, it preserves, okay, your marriage. Why? Because in every of those testing, it will be tested in the toughest time of your relationship. But if you are in a covenant relationship, then this test, you will see that you will stay through all storm of life. And both of you will stay through together and journey together whatever storm. Okay? And that is where you grow and you become stronger far beyond you could imagine. So as I close, notice God is the author and the originator of marriage. Only God can define what it means, a true and rightful marriage. And God gives the high value on marriage because this is how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you are singles, Father God, I pray for every singles right in our midst. I pray, oh God, Lord, as each, okay, probably looking for one or having a relationship, being a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I pray, oh God, Lord, that each and everyone have that mindset to keep, okay, their relationship pure before you. Father, as we talk about, okay, what it means, all right, to have a covenant relationship and not consumer relationship. I pray, oh God, Lord, for every level of relationship, Father, that we will have the posture, okay, of what can I give rather than just wanting to get. Father, today I'm to commit all of us into your hands. And I pray, oh God, Lord, that we will embrace, okay, how Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In Jesus' name, I pray.